Oh yeah, you already know what time it is. You already know what's going on. I'm your host, Cam Silver.
I'm your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And the Silver Boys are back in the studio.
Yes, sir. The stew.
Oh man, heartbreaking. Derrick Rose, he's retiring.
Don't make me cry. That's actually enough to make a grown man cry. Genuinely.
15 years in league. He was the number one overall pick in 2008. He was rookie of the year. Youngest MVP ever at 22 years old. He averaged 25 points and 7.7 assists that year. And he led the Bulls to the Eastern Conference Finals, tore his ACL in 2012. And then since then has been hampered by injuries. And he was, you know, big inspiration to all of us.
Mm-hmm. One of the greatest, like, what-if stories, like, that you could possibly come up with in the league, honestly. Even more than, like, Charles Barkley, like, getting a ring or something. Like, what if Derrick Rose got that ring that, like, he so rightly deserved because of, like, just the way he played and stuff.
He's up there with the what-ifs with, like, Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill. Those are the big what-ifs for me, you know, the guys that never, like, Charles Barkley, I don't think he's a what-if because he played, you know, so many seasons, he's done so much, but the real what ifs are the Grant Hills, the Penny Hardaways, you know, the Tracy McGrady's, those guys that were hampered by injuries that just couldn't get right in the long run. So yeah, no, if he never tears his ACL, you know, does he have a championship ring? You know, who does he possibly even team up with? Maybe, you know, in an era full of guys that just wanted to team up with each other like AAU teams. So yeah, man, it's it was a great journey. It was awesome to watch. It was awesome, you know, just to witness it. And I'm happy we got to see someone that polarizing.
Yeah, most definitely. Forever grateful for just, like, the impact he had on the game of basketball and even just, like, you know, the people and the type of, you know, point guards that come out the league now, like Ja and, like, you know, certain cats like that.
Right.
Like Jalen Green, like, you know, fast, explosive players. Mm-hmm. A lot of bounce, like, you know what I mean? So that's he definitely had a huge, huge impact and a huge influence on a lot of dudes.
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah.
WNBA, you know, they're in the playoffs right now. And Caitlin Clark just played her last game. She went out like a beast though. As soon as I could actually get it up, she had over, what was it, 25? I think she had 25 points, if I'm not mistaken. Along with 25 points and 9 assists.
Okay.
You know, she went out like a beast. You know, they lost 81-87 in game two. Game one, they got blown out 93-69. But incredible, incredible rookie season.
Great, great, great rookie season, absolutely. Just the numbers that she was putting up on the assist side of the ball, like the way she could find her teammates, that's always going to be her strong suit. And, you know, her game as a scorer will progress. Even as a rookie averaging 25 a game is absolutely, like, disgusting.
Well, she didn't average 25. She averaged,
in the playoffs, like those
no,
two
no,
games.
No, no, no. In the playoffs, so that was the last game. The last game, she had 25 points. In the playoffs, she averaged 18.
18,
she
had
11
okay.
in the first game.
Okay, okay, okay.
But, yeah, no, it's like in the regular season, she was averaged 19 points, 8 assists, 5.7 rebounds, a steal, almost a block per game. So, you know, high on the turnovers, but that's to be expected being a rookie and also just having a ball in your hands a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they literally one of the most polarizing rookie seasons that we have seen in a while.
And the fact that she just, like, rose WNBA attendance in general across, like, every team. Every team and every stadium that she went to.
Yeah.
That talk about impact.
And the cool thing is, like, it wasn't just people coming out to see her. It was also people
everybody,
going out to see, like, everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing the Aisha Wilsons, seeing the Brittany Stewart's, the Sabrina Nescu's, the Arike Ogunbowale's and all that stuff. So I'm a fan, obviously, and I can't wait to see, you know, what she continues to do in this league. And
it's only the first year. Like, you know, she's just gonna get better. That's it. She's just gonna keep getting better and better, getting stronger, much more confident. She'll be all right. She'll be more than all right.
Oh yeah.
So I can't wait to see what next season holds for her.
Yes. All right. Now going into the NFL.
Okay.
So week three was pretty crazy. Broncos shocked the Bucks 26-7 down in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Out of all places.
Yeah.
Ravens beat the Cowboys 28-25. Should have been a blowout. but we know the Ravens, they have their troubles closing out still. Chiefs escaped Atlanta with a 22-17 win.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was a pass interference down in the red zone. We know. The Bills dominate, dominate the Jaguars.
Belt the booty, dude.
The Jaguars just, they look like they were sleepwalking. They look like they were sleepwalking.
They weren't ready. They just weren't ready.
Yeah, no, we have to have that conversation about Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vikings, once again, dismantling another powerhouse in the Texans, 34-7. Giants get their first win in the season against the Browns, looking pretty good over there, 21-15. Eagles escaped New Orleans, 15-12.
That was very close.
They better thank the heavens that they got Saquon Barkley, because Swift is not going to be able to do something like that. Mm-mm. And whatever other running backs that they had, like Gainwell, whatever, they're not doing stuff like that either.
No, but, not at all.
Packers able to dominate the Titans, 30-14. Panthers shocked the Raiders, 36-22, which is crazy.
Which, and Andy Dalton got a real, like, funny thing to do next week against the Bengals.
Against the Bengals, right?
Yo, and they coming to him. They coming to him in his crib.
Yeah.
Nah. The way, I can't believe they won that game, mm-mm, genuinely. Mm-mm. 36 points? They put up 30, so 36. About a 40 burger. How you almost put up a 40 burger?
Against the Raiders, who the Raiders just beat the Ravens. How?
And we looking at Brock Bowers like he the second coming of Christ. Yo. Come on, yo.
I don't know. Rams come back down 14 twice. They're down 14 twice. Yeah. And end up winning the game against the 49ers, 27-24.
Bad, crazy. Bad loss for the 49ers.
Commanders.
Yo.
Wow.
Danny Daniels
is that guy.
H-I-M.
He's that guy.
H-I-M.
He's that guy.
And it's not even like Joe Burrow had like a terrible game
he
either.
Had a great game.
But
great game.
Nah. What Jaden Daniels did to that team.
91.3 completion percentage.
And the funny thing is he really only missed one throw.
Yeah.
He only missed one throw.
Yeah.
And that was Scary Terry, like on the left side. He just overthrew him a little bit. But you know, he noticed how he got him back on the right side next time, right?
That is
what you want to see.
Yeah.
That is very clearly what you want to see as a person watching football and seeing a quarterback progress in real time throughout the game.
Yeah.
That was amazing. 21-23 though. 254.
Two touchdowns in the air, 12 carries, 39 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. Eckler had a touchdown on the ground. Mm-hmm. Robinson Jr. had a touchdown on the ground. McLaurin, he cooked Cam Britt. Cam Taylor Britt, mm-hmm, on that one on the left side.
And he was talking.
Yeah.
And Cam Taylor was talking.
And the funny thing is, for me, it wasn't even as if he was talking bad either.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, you know, they run a simple college offense. It's right that they do because it's all quick hitters. It's mm-hmm. all RPOs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all, you know, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it being so simple is the fact that there's too many weapons back there.
Way too many.
Have Jaden Daniels. You have Austin Eckler. You have Brian Robinson Jr. Along with Scary Terry. Along with Christian McCaffrey's brother and Luke McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Zach Ertz.
Yeah, Zach Ertz changes a lot of that, too.
That's a lot of weapons right there. And that's a lot of guys, you know, able to space out the field, able to, you know, just do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like we said, the Bengals didn't play a bad game. Well, the defense did. Offensively, they didn't play a bad game. It was just they couldn't keep up with the Commanders.
Like, think about it. Ja'Marr Chase, he was 6-118. Like, come on now. Like, stats like that, that's when you win a game.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Think about it. Just, if you score over 30, you basically win the game.
Yeah, but they couldn't hold them.
They couldn't hold them.
They could not hold them to save their life. And that was just genuinely crazy to witness because the Bengals almost had them. But we said it early in the year, like, Washington's going to be a scary team.
Yeah,
like a team that you don't want to see. Not at all.
And
for a simple offense to, like, you know what I'm saying, come through and do that to you. You said it was simple. Like, you know what I'm saying, Cam Taylor Britt, you said it was simple. So maybe, like, you should have found, like, a little bit more of the exploits and stuff like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, hey, shout out Washington, man. Shout out Washington. They doing their thing.
Oh, yeah. Going back to the Bills game.
Mm-hmm.
Now Josh Allen, we'll talk about the Bills first. Josh Allen, 23 of 30, 263 yards in the air for 4 touchdowns. That was all in the first half, by the way.
First half.
6 carries and 44 yards. James Cook with 11 carries, 39 yards, 4 receptions, 48 yards. Shakir had 6 receptions, 72 yards and a touchdown. Dalton Kincaid with 3 receptions, 41 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. What in the world is happening in Buffalo right now? And Josh Allen already basically answered that question I just asked by basically saying, you know, no one really cares about their stats. Everyone just, at the end of the day, just wants to win. And when you have a team that just wants to win, more times than not, you're just going to win.
You're just going to win.
You know what I mean? And they look like they're having fun. Like, I think this is probably the most fun I've seen Josh Allen have.
Most definitely.
Wow.
Most definitely.
You know, he's not. I feel like the biggest thing was he was just trying to force a lot of the action to Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that was always getting him in trouble. That was always the thing, you know, causing him to have so many turnovers. He doesn't have any turnovers.
And that right there is probably one of the most impressive things, because through 3 weeks, you're putting up, you know, pretty much 20, 25, 30, 30 plus points for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that you have no turnovers means you're playing perfect football, essentially.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And the way that Buffalo looks, just like you said, as a cohesive unit, and the fact that Josh Allen doesn't feel like he has to force the ball to somebody, he can spread the love around and actually, like, you know, get different players involved, ride the hot hand of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that creates a whole different dynamic, and you can have fun.
Yeah.
That allows you to have fun, because everybody getting touches and everybody feels like they doing something to progress towards the win.
Right.
That's how you have fun.
Yeah. But the real person that we gotta talk about is Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence does not look good right now. So in his last game, he was 21 for 38, 178 yards. He had a touchdown, but he also had a bad interception. Mm-hmm. Where he just clearly overthrew his receiver. Mm-hmm. And went straight to DeMar Hamlin. Shout out to DeMar Hamlin, by the way. That was awesome to see.
Yeah, that interception.
That was so cool to see.
Yeah, bro, yeah.
But yeah, no, think about it. They just paid Trevor Lawrence. Now he's getting paid $50 million a year. It feels like and it looks like he's regressed.
A lot.
And, you know, and they brought in Doug Peterson, somebody who is pretty good with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. They brought him in to, you know, try to work on Trevor Lawrence. And it looked like for a while that it was, you know, it was going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But now, dating back to last season, he's lost 8 straight. This is the second time that this has happened in his career already. So I guess the question is, you know, when do you take a look in the mirror and you're like, all right, what are we supposed to do with this guy?
Now, you're going to have to start looking, or at least start having those conversations, you know, because you're just not – you came in as a highly touted QB,
mm-hmm.
right? And Jacksonville, I think, has done some things to, like, put them in a position, put Trevor Lawrence in the best position. You're going out getting Calvin Ridley, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, getting certain cats that are – star players, Travis Etienne Jr., like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Gabe Davis is there now. Evan Engram is there. Like,
he's hurt,
but still. But that defense also, you can't put 100% of the blame on.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not gonna put it all.
No, no, I'm just, you know, I'm not saying you in totality. I'm just saying, like, you know, people can't put all of the blame, because there is two sides to a football game, like, you know, three levels you got to play at, and the Jaguars are just not doing that as a whole. So I think, I don't know what you got to do, but it's time to start having a conversation about just team building,
yeah.
team roster, and competent quarterback play.
Right.
Because Trevor Lawrence is just not, he ain't doing it no more.
Yeah.
He's not doing it no more.
Yeah, because remember when he came in, he was getting compared to Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, you know, guys like that. So when you don't produce, when you don't, you know what I mean? Like, after your first year, if you're not producing the way that you're supposed to, mm-hmm. you know, then that's when everyone is going to start looking at you a little funny,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially after just getting that big contract.
Exactly.
You know, now you're getting paid up there with the hot, with, you know, with those guys, you mm-hmm. know, those guys we call him,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes, the Joe Burrows, you know what I mean? Those guys who put up numbers,
mm-hmm.
you know, so he has to somehow some way keep up, and he has to figure out something, he has to retune himself or figure out a different routine or something, man, because it's just it's not looking bad down there in Florida.
No, not at all. And the fact that they are paying him $50 million a year, it's like, do you even bench him? Like because you give him all of this money.
Right.
And then now that's a bad investment return on your investment now as an organization. So it's like, do you keep him out there and like, do you like, you know, give him the confidence to like stay out there mm-hmm. because you invested so much money in him?
Right.
Or do you move a different direction because he's just not getting it done? That's a question that they need to answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah. You don't want to waste your money. So.
That's the worst. That's the one thing.
That's the worst.
when your player don't
produce.
Keep up his end of the bargain. Yeah. Yeah, but demands a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to the Giants, they got their first win of the season against the Browns. Daniel Jones looked pretty good. 24-34, 236 yards and 2 TDs. Devin Singletary with 16 carries, 65 yards, a touchdown, 4 receptions, 43 yards. Malik Nabers, 8 receptions, 78 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the Cowboys Thursday night. No, Cowboys have, obviously, they are the worst run-stop team in the league. Like, it's not even a secret anymore.
Not even close.
What do you expect to see when they play Cowboys Thursday night?
I hope to see Devin Singletary run the ball like he did against the Browns
mm-hmm.
because we look at the Browns like a highly touted defense. You know, you got thank you. I had to bring far. You got Myles Garrett over there. And you know, they were a top three defense last year mm-hmm. that should have stayed going into this year as the Browns. Cowboys, we said that they were a great defense with Micah Parsons over there. Like, but the fact that they can't stop the run, you just have to take full advantage of it. You just have to as the Giants. And the fact that Daniel Jones can also run too,
yeah.
like genuinely speaking, I think that, you know, Brian Dable has to put him in positions to be able to like, you know, RPOs, different things like that. I think that would be real good because then that opens up Malik to be able to do what he does. He will be going against, like, Trayvon Diggs more than likely. And, like, you know, that's going to be a matchup in and of itself.
Yeah.
But I just hope that offensive line can hold genuinely because what you don't want is Daniel Jones dropping back when he doesn't need to. And then Micah Parsons is coming around the edge and like when they don't need to.
Right.
The blueprint is out on the Cowboys.
Right.
So I'm looking to Devin Singletary. That's who I'm looking to actually be able to run the football effectively.
Okay.
That's what I like to see.
Yeah, that's what I would like to see as well. I do expect them to get it to Nabers
mm-hmm.
a lot, even with Diggs there. Getting him on a lot of crossing routes, get him on, you know, pick plays even. You know, if he's not looking, get
jet
him
sweeps,
on post routes,
certain things, yeah.
Jet sweeps, post routes, and go routes too. So,
mm-hmm.
I can see them mixing in a lot of things, you know. But the biggest thing is, you know, just making sure that the offensive line is good, and they've been fairly decent.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm not
mad at the way that they've been playing. So I expect them to you know, I can see them handling, but I can see them. You know, giving Dallas a rough time.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Okay.
And then if the defense comes to play the way that they should play, then yeah, because think about it. If you turn Dallas into a one-dimensional team and they just have to sit there and throw all the time, you know what I mean? Like, look at it. Like, look at the stats. Dak Prescott throwing over 30, 40, 50 times, more than likely it means that they're losing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are garbage stats at the end of the day.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
But this has got to be a big one for the Cowboys, too, just because.
Oh, yeah,
because
if they lose to the Giants, they're done.
Oh, my goodness.
They're gone.
That's my Super Bowl. That'll be my Super Bowl. I'm good. I'm good. I'll be good. You feel me? That goes down again? That'll be so funny. So, so funny. Because then what do you do? What do you do?
Yeah.
You got paid $60 million 4 hours before the season started. And you look like this.
Mm-hmm.
The team looks like this. Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame.
Yeah, no. That would be something.
That's a shame.
That would be something. But, yeah, man. This upcoming week looks to be pretty good. Like you said, we already talked about the Thursday night game. Really liking Minnesota going off to Green Bay. That's gonna be a good one. Denver comes in to see New York, the Jets. So we'll see
That'll be good.
how that's gonna go down. Eagles going down to see Tampa. We already talked about Cincinnati going to see Carolina and how, you know, Andy Dalton has a chance to really do something funny.
Funny. Very, very funny.
The nightcap. I like the nightcap on Sunday night of Buffalo and Baltimore.
That's gonna be.
That's gonna be a game. That's gonna be a game.
Don't let Josh Allen come in and put up another like 50 burger
Oh
on
yeah, no.
for a second straight week. That'll be actually disgusting.
Against Baltimore too, that would be something. That would be something.
And if Lamar Jackson doesn't play up to like, you know, Josh Allen like standards,
Yeah.
then what conversation are we gonna have?
Yeah.
You know? Josh Allen, like he my MVP right
Oh
now,
yeah, easily,
genuinely,
easily,
easily.
easily. It's not even up for debate
With
right
the way
now.
the Chiefs have been looking, like, you know, they're still undefeated, but like some real close ones that they should not have been in
Oh yeah.
at all. And like everybody taking out
Everybody.
Travis Kelce now, and it's just like, what do you do? Because no Pacheco, like, you know, Rashee Rice has, you know, basically established himself as the number one receiver there.
Yeah, and he's getting his numbers
And
regardless.
yeah,
He's still getting his
always,
numbers regardless.
always, always.
I'm not as worried with them only because I know that they have Kareem Hunt coming in. They've done well with Carson Steele, and the defense is just prime time. Defense is prime
The
time.
defense is why they're 3-0.
The defense is prime time right now. The way that they made that stop against Bijan, I was wow. Like I was
Disgusting.
like I remember saying to myself, I'm like, that is a championship defense.
How many times you gotta come in week after week and be like, yo, Spags is that
Spags is
dude?
that guy, man. Spags is that guy. It's as if he knew that they were already just gonna run the ball to the right, and they
Exactly.
said, and it wasn't even, it was the way that they controlled the line of scrimmage. That's the reason why they're
Yeah.
always winning.
Yeah.
It's because they control the line of scrimmage. They got so much pressure up front that is at that point, it made Bijan have to go around, and once he finally found a hole, he met
He
Nick
was,
Bolton.
yep.
You know.
Yep. It was over after that.
Yeah, so Kansas City, obviously they're very vulnerable with the injuries and with guys, you know, finally coming around Travis Kelce, but I think eventually that they will break out because this team is too versatile, and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are too smart to just let anybody, you know, just come in and stop them. So very, very interesting week coming up in the NFL.
Oh yeah.
College football was fun
Fine.
last weekend.
Very.
Rutgers got a huge win against Virginia Tech, which I am so happy about. So now they are 3-0, and Friday night they have Washington coming in at 8 o'clock on Fox.
Oh
So
yeah.
that's gonna be ooh, that one's gonna be
That's
fun.
a game. That's gonna be a game right
That
there.
one's gonna be fun. You're gonna have on Saturday, you're gonna have number 20 Oklahoma State versus number 23 Kansas State. Kansas State just lost in a blowout to BYU. BYU has Baylor, who just took a heartbreaking loss to Colorado. Shout outs to those boys over there in Colorado. They ate. Number 15 Louisville goes over to number 16 Notre Dame. That one's gonna be a good one. But
We all know. We all
everybody
know where we
knows
go with this.
game of the weekend. Number 2 Georgia goes off to number 4 Tuscaloosa.
Oh my
See
God.
Alabama.
I got chills right now. I genuinely have chills.
I cannot wait for that game.
Oh my,
Cannot
Kirby
wait for that
Smart
game.
versus Kalen DeBoer.
DeBoer.
Yo, at Bama.
Yeah.
Oh, at Bama.
At Nick Saban Field.
He cannot lose. He cannot lose.
Yeah, no,
He
it's
cannot lose.
out of respect on the line right now.
Like, this is where you win everybody over.
Oh yeah.
Right here, right now on
I
Saturday.
really want to see how Georgia comes out, especially after laying an egg against Kentucky. You know, I was watching that game and I was like, yo, you guys are very in danger right now. So I'm very interested in that one. And another good one coming in too is 19 Illinois versus number 9 Penn State. That one's gonna be a good one. Illinois, they came away with a big win against Nebraska last week in overtime. So I'm very interested to see what those guys can cook up too. Something big happened. What was it? It was Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday. So UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka is leaving over unfulfilled NIL promises. An assistant coach gave him a verbal offer of $100,000. He only got 3,000 of that. For relocation. His father told ESPN payments were delayed and no effort was made to formalize a contract with their collective amount. The school said UNLV said Sluka's representatives made financial demands in order to continue playing, that is, that its athletic department interpreted as a violation of NCAA pay-for-play rules and Nevada state law. UNLV does not engage in such activities, nor does it respond to implied threats. So, yeah, Matthew Sluka is going to redshirt because he has that option. So now he's going to redshirt. He will not play for UNLV no more. And the transfer portal doesn't open until December 19th, I believe it is. So that's Sunday after conference championship Saturday. Mm-hmm. Is when he will be able to go into the transfer portal. But this is crazy.
That's why you don't ever, you do not agree to nothing verbally.
Yeah.
You get everything written down contractually, and you have somebody there, or you have a third party there.
Yeah.
A neutral third party.
An arbitrator, something like that, yeah.
Because you can't accept verbal, not in today's day and age, not anymore.
Not even just verbal and stuff like that, but this is the NIL, like, you basically have to get that confirmation from the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Assistant coaches can't give you that confirmation.
They can't give you, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't just walk in and be like, hey, man, you know, I'm going to give you, like, a couple mil just to come through to the school and everything, play your butt off, and, you know, you go off to the league. If I'm not the head coach,
that's so vague. That, yeah.
Like, I can't give you that. You know what I mean? So that's why, and that's something that you learn in business 1-on-1. Like you're not, you know what I mean? Like, there's no such thing as a verbal agreement. Verbal agreements mean nothing. I can sit here and tell you anything I want to. Yeah, I'll get you a Lamborghini.
I'll buy you a Porsche.
I'll buy you whatever you want.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, you want a private jet? Yeah, I'll get you that, too. No, I'm not giving you all of that. I just want you to come play for the school.
Exactly. Like, that's all it's about.
That's what it was all about. And, you know, like, it just looks bad on both ends. For Sluga and them, why in the world would you take a verbal agreement? Verbal agreements mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at signing day. Look at, you know, when guys are committing. Verbal commitments mean nothing.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I get as much as I verbally agree, guess what? I can sit right here and decommit right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And then that I can go somewhere else.
Which happens a lot more often than you think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, all the time. All the time.
So that's why I'm sitting there questioning, you know, them. But then also I'm sitting there questioning the school because it's like, all right, you guys made a promise. And my question is, did that promise ever get back to the head coach or get back to the athletic director, you know, get back to the ADs
mm-hmm.
where it's like, yo, we got to pay our star quarterback, you know, 100K. You know, he got us on a 3-0 start right
mm-hmm.
now. We looking good. They're like literally on the outside looking in of the top 25 right now. That's how good they are.
That's,
I watched them against Kansas. They're
mm-hmm.
they're tough.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they were. Now that's
now
I don't know what they're gonna look like with these next two guys.
Yeah,
with, you know, with the other two quarterbacks who have experience. I think they're both seniors, if I'm not mistaken. They're both upperclassmen.
Gotcha.
But still, at the same time, Matthew Sluka, he's tough.
He can
throw. He can run. He's a dual threat. He's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks funny on both sides.
Yeah,
because they didn't take care of it the way that they should have.
Mm-hmm. That's a damn shame. It honestly is, because like you don't go to a kid and you promise him 100K, and then not give it
and
to him.
And not give it to him. Yeah.
After he seems like he's coming through and he's producing.
Yeah, he's giving you what you want.
And then now you can't. Now you don't want to pay him. Now you can't pay him. That's not cool.
Mm-mm.
That's not right.
Mm-mm.
That's not right. That's not right. And it's probably a lot more of that going around. There's probably a lot more of that going around in just certain circles and like verbal agreements that have not been met that we don't even know about.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
For sure. But yeah, man, we're gonna have to continue this next time.
Yeah.
Great episode.
Great episode.
Great episode. We got through a lot of the good stuff.
Thank you again, D Rose.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you again, D Rose. Shout out to Caitlin Clark on the Maiden Season, Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart.
Asia Wilson, unanimous MVP. They gonna meet up.
They up in the semifinals. I think it starts Sunday. So yes, be ready. Have your popcorn ready because it's gonna be a movie.
Yeah, that one's gonna be. Yeah.
NFL this week is gonna be fun once again. Like we said, college football this week is going to be a lot fun this weekend. You know, we starting to get into it now.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to stick to things now.
It's time.
Fall has begun.
Yeah.
Till then, I'm your host, Cam Silver.
I'm your co-host, Kyle Silver.
See you guys later.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.